I'm going to begin with looking at 1 Timothy chapter 3 again, verse number 16, and John chapter 3, verse number 17. Asking a question, although this is not the title necessarily, but asking the question, why did Jesus come? Why did Jesus come? And hopefully at the end we'll give a clear answer for why he came. Would you bow your head with me this morning? Father, you came. You allowed the Son of God to be born. The incarnation means so much. That the divine would become human, wrapped in human array, walk with humanity. Thank you, Lord, for the blessing that we have this morning of worshiping the Christ child and the risen Lord as well, that you are alive, and to think that you've prayed for us this morning. We're blessed. Pray for your special anointing and touch in this part of the service. I pray for the clarity of mind and the clarity of speech as I stand before your people today. I need your anointing and your touch. I need your strength. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 16, one phrase in that verse that I want us to look at again this morning. God was manifest in the flesh. God became or was made flesh. But then turning over to John's Gospel chapter 3 and verse number 17 that you and I can probably quote this morning. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God was made flesh for the purpose not of condemning the world, but that the world through him might be saved. A.W. Tozer said, when the word says that God sent his Son into the world, it is not talking to us merely about the world as geography. It does not just indicate to us that God sent his Son into the Near East, that he sent him to Bethlehem in Palestine. He came to Bethlehem, certainly. He did come to that little land that lies between the seas. But this message does not have any geographical meaning. What it really means is that God sent his Son into the human race. I hope I spoke that loud enough for it to penetrate and permeate the barriers that perhaps we have up in our hearing to understand what Tozer is saying, what God's Word is saying, that he came into the human race. Tozer goes on to say, when it speaks of the world here, it does not mean that God just loved our geography. It does not mean that God so loved the snow-capped mountains or the sun-kissed meadows. God may love all these, but that is not the meaning in this passage. God sent his Son to the human race. He came to people. This is something we must never forget. Jesus Christ came to seek and to save people. Not just certain favored people, not just certain kinds of people, But Luke records those words of Jesus for us in his gospel in chapter 19 and verse number 10. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save those that are lost. Do you know any lost people this morning? Do you know anybody who Jesus came to save that have not been saved? Jesus came, he said that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Years ago, I visited an inmate in the Wabash Valley Correctional Facility near Carlisle, Indiana. Even back then, it wasn't an easy venture to get that far behind the wire for a visit. Everything had to be removed that wasn't considered essential. Keys, belts, coins, pens, pocket knife, wristwatch, everything had to be left outside. I feel uncomfortable when I have to take my belt off. You're not allowed to take a belt back that far. The only thing that you're allowed to have is your shirt, your pants, your socks and shoes and eyeglasses. That's all I was allowed to have to go back that far behind the wire. If you were to read only the notes and the charges from the prosecutor, many of you wouldn't have anything to do with him, let alone feel comfortable if he were to join us on a Sunday morning in his prison clothes and his shackles. Also, years ago, I visited an inmate named Terry in Putnamville Correctional Facility near Greencastle, Indiana. If you were to read only the notes and the charges from the prosecutor, many of you wouldn't have anything to do with him. His charges would make your skin crawl. You wouldn't feel comfortable if he were to join us on a Sunday morning in his prison clothes and his shackles. I had the opportunity to share God's message of love and hope with him as he sat behind the razor wire, as well as him sitting on the padded pew of the church and in the living room of the parsonage. I have a picture of him on my desk this morning. A picture of me with him in prison, my arm around his shoulder, behind the bars. I had another visit with an inmate years ago whose name was Mark in the Pendleton Correction Facility near Pendleton, Indiana. If you were to read the notes, only the notes, and the charges from the prosecutor, many of you wouldn't have anything to do with him either, let alone feel comfortable if he were to join us on a Sunday morning in his prison clothes and his shackles. The oddity about Mark was that he knew what it was to grow up going to church on every Sunday and every Wednesday. But things happened, and he veered away from God. Years ago, I walked the road of a troubled life with a man by the name of Mike. He was on probation, but he was looking at having the book, the proverbial book, thrown at him, and his rap sheet was a stack of 8 by 10 papers, a quarter of an inch thick. It's safe to say this morning that he was a menace to society. Some of his charges were unforgivable, disgusting, and even stomach-rolling. I stood with him in front of the judge as he stared 30 years in the face. It was his public defender that I first dubbed public pretender, because he didn't stand a chance with that public defender. As a matter of fact, he didn't seem to stand a chance with anybody, because nobody wanted to take any time with Mike. He was a menace to society. He sat on our padded pews for weeks and months, Sundays and Wednesdays. He sat in our living room on the sofa, and he ate food with us at our table. I have a pencil drawing with his name at the bottom in the corner in the cabinet in my study. The last I heard, he was locked up for a very long time. If you were to read only the notes and the charges from the prosecutor, many of you wouldn't have anything to do with him, let alone feel comfortable if he would join us on a Sunday morning in his prison clothes and his shackles. I can give you countless stories of people that I've visited while in prison or in jails. But enough of those stories. Let's listen to what Jesus had to say once again. He said, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Billy Graham wrote in his Advent devotional years ago, "On that first Christmas night, the angels appeared to shepherds on a hill near Bethlehem. Alfred Edersheim, the great 19th century Jewish Christian scholar, wrote in his book, The Life and the Times of Jesus the Messiah, that the shepherds and the sheep to whom the angels appeared near Bethlehem were no ordinary shepherds and sheep. The sheep were those bound for the temple sacrifices. The shepherds were outcasts because of their necessary isolation from all the religious ordinances. Their manner of life rendered legal observances unlikely, if not absolutely impossible." Did you catch that? Here they are, providing lambs for the sacrifices for atonement, but could not participate on a personal level to see or to feel or to experience forgiveness through the sacrifices of the very lambs that they provided. They were outcasts. This man said their manner of life rendered legal observances unlikely, if not absolutely impossible. Graham goes on to say how wonderful that in God's wisdom and love, the angels should appear to them, the doomed, the outcast, that night. That God chose them to be the recipients of the announcement that they would soon be allowed in. Today, Graham said, we can declare to the world that the Good Shepherd cares for all people and wants to give peace, to give them peace. Christ came on that first Christmas for one great purpose. For one great purpose. It wasn't for the lights or the tinsels or the gifts or the mounds of food. But he came for one great purpose, Graham said, to die on the cross for our sins. Now, I say Billy Graham said that, but actually many people have said that prior to Billy Graham and since Billy Graham. To die on the cross for our sins was the one great purpose that he came. Now God offers forgiveness and inner peace and eternal life to all who will repent and believe in his Son. This, I want you to hear me on this Advent Sunday. This is the message of Christmas. Do you know people who need to hear about God's love and forgiveness? If I were to take the time this morning to go around the room, go around this sanctuary, go up and down every in and out of every pew, I wonder how many names we could come up with of the people that are represented here that we know that need to hear the message of why Jesus came again. To hear the message again. Because as I look around and into your faces this morning, I am confident that every single one of us have people that we know on a friendship basis as well as a familial basis, that there are people that we are aware of that need to hear the message of why Jesus came. not all of them are the ones that are behind the wire or behind the bar. Some of them sit in nice homes and drive fancy vehicles. But he came to save, to seek and to save that which was lost. And on this Advent Sunday, when we anticipate the coming of the Christ and celebrate the birth of Jesus, and on the other hand, we anticipate and yearn for the second coming when he calls his children home, and all of sin will be done away, and everything will be made right, and we can enjoy the bliss and the grandeur of heaven, all of those things, on this Advent Sunday, will you share the true message of Christmas with somebody this year? Why? Because Christ came for everyone. Christ came for all to seek and to save the lost. Will you share the true Christmas message with somebody this year? Let's stand together. Not only am I talking about people that are outside, out yonder somewhere, people that you would rub shoulders with or bump elbows with or stand in line at Walmart with. But perhaps there's someone listening this morning whose heart is yearning for peace. One such as Mark, who grew up in the church, but things happened and veered away. Doesn't always happen to that drastic measure and that drastic mean. But if there's somebody here this morning that your heart is yearning for that peace, he came for you too. He came for you too. So that you can be allowed in. Even as all of those despicables have been allowed in. Or the righteous have been allowed in. Or the rich young ruler was allowed in. He came to seek and to save all who are lost. Would you give him your heart this morning? Would you allow him to come into your life this morning? Confess that you are a sinner. Confess that you are in need of the divine gift, the sacrifice of the Lamb of God. Receive his gift of salvation today. You can find and have inner peace, inner joy this Christmas season. The fullness of the anticipation of his coming can be made real in your life today. Praise God. Praise God. He came for all. Troy, would you dismiss us with prayer?